Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 575. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of alone time in the house, I suppose. Although it's not really alone time since we since our roommate Kevin is still here.
And I keep forgetting he lives there.
Yes.
I keep forgetting he's still there.
Yep. Huh. Yeah, that one was kind
of
funny.
That's a combo for off the air.
But other than that, pretty as eventful as things were in the news, it was not a terribly eventful week for yours truly this past week. So,
Shahid and I talked about all that. Are you guys having protests or anything down there?
Oh, yeah. There? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
We had curfew up until last night, I believe. And everyone, the mayor of Columbus said that everyone was playing nice, so we didn't have a curfew anymore. But I'm not sure if that didn't really apply to me since I'm not in Columbus anymore.
Oh, that's true. You're with Kahana or whatever.
Yeah. So since I'm in a suburb now, I'm not sure how much that really affected me, and honestly, like, even if I still did live in Columbus, where the marches were happening, there isn't a whole lot downtown, other than government buildings and big office buildings. Like, going down there just for funsies is kind of weird, you know, and that's where most of the protests were. So it's not even someplace that we'd normally kind of swing by anyway. Like, there's, you know, there aren't any breweries there. There aren't any, there are a few of the good food places that are, you know, around the bend from downtown. But, and it didn't seem like anything got too wild up in here as far as I could tell. There's the usual that, you know, people will complain about, but probably only happened to, like, two or three blocks.
Yeah, they still have. It got pretty nuts the other day, and I guess, I don't know, I know we're here talking about in your house, but, yeah, it got pretty crazy here. I don't know if you saw, it made national news, I'm not sure if you saw it or not.
Oh, no.
Where the cops basically corralled everybody and shot them with tear gas.
Oh, that was in Charlotte, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they herded everyone like cattle in between two streets, and then when they were trapped and had nowhere to go, they decided to open fire and... Well, not open fire, excuse me. They were shooting bullets. But, well, no, I'm sorry. They were shooting bullets. They were pepper. They have pepper gas bullets or something like that.
Oh.
That sounds like some sci-fi shit. But.
Yeah, that sounds like something that's going to kill a vampire.
Yes. And, like, I have, like, there's, like, video proof of it, too. And, like, even Shahid said on the last week watch stuff, you can listen to that. It's last week's show if you're interested. But even the army doesn't use tear gas. And the fucking cops are using it on their own people. And it's like, okay, cool. That'll make things better. But yeah, I mean, they basically trapped everyone and then started shooting with the stuff. And then the next day, the police chief didn't offer apologies, didn't offer anything. He's like, yeah, it happened. Sorry. Oh, no, he'd say, it's unfortunate it happened. And then you get people who are like, I don't know why people like have this view of the police. Well... pretty fucking easy. So, anyways,
yeah.
For those who are having turned off by this, but I'll leave that so that we watch stuff. Sorry.
Well, it's
very aggravating.
I just kind of cracked up because it's just like, oh, if it's not in print, you don't support it. And I'm like, I went back and I listened to Downset last week a lot. Because they are definitely high on the list of anti-police talking points, especially their first song, Anger, is all about someone killing the lead singer's, or the cops killing the lead singer's father for no reason. and oh, how wow. he I needs and he, how he needs to watch out because and if I don't watch my back, I know they're gonna kill me. It is the lyrics. It's just like, yeah, I think you can kind of figure out from my music which side of the line that I'm on as far as those things go.
Yeah, and I don't get into this. So I'm not well, you know, not all. It's, I don't want to hear this bullshit. It's the only cop I supported was the Big Boss Man. So there's a joke for everybody. How's that?
Now, I'm going to guess the Big Boss Man made an appearance on an In Your House, did he not?
He had to have, right?
Yeah, I only watched...
Well, I don't know.
He might not have.
He may have been gone by Your House.
Yeah. There is a possibility he's not on, because I watched that first one over the weekend, and that was pretty funny. And it was a pretty decent card. Bret Hart wrestled twice. I'm trying to think. Oh, the main event was kind of whatever, with Kevin Nash and Psycho Sid.
Well, I used to love Sid as a kid, but you know, as you get older, you realize, oh yeah, he wasn't the greatest, huh? Just didn't know. So, because he was all presentation. I mean. Giant, jacked, like jacked to the gills, crazy as hell. I mean, it was a cool presentation, man.
100%.
Yeah, and then, I just remember being so turned off because they turned him into Justice. Yeah, that was always just terrible, man. It was always terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where I'm like, oh man, I'm okay that I missed this era of wrestling. Like, there are a few things that I know that I missed because I skipped out on about 5 years of wrestling or so.
Yeah. That was that weird WWF stuff, though. I'm guessing they couldn't use Sid Vicious because of the obvious, like, licensing or rights or copyright because, you know, Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Or it just sounded too mean. I've never actually looked into that or heard why. It's got to be one of the two. But there's few things I remember more distinct than that. Like that was just crazy. Like wait, Sid Vicious is a way cooler name, and I knew this as a kid. And then the other one I was at the Richfield Coliseum, and it was Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig, and I went, what? And then on TV he was just Mr. Perfect, and I'm like, what the hell? I mean, that's Kurt Hennig. I never understood that. But then, you know, as you get older and you listen to, like, podcasts or the people involved in that, you're like, oh. So they did that with everybody because they didn't want to recognize from somewhere else. Like, Barry Windham, the Widowmaker. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that one was... I guess maybe that one made a little more sense to me, but I think I also knew... I think I was watching either NWA or WCW on TBS by that point. So I felt like I knew him when he moved over.
I knew him as Barry Windham. Like, I knew he was... And that's the weirdest thing to me is he was Barry Windham in WWE or WWF when it was Windham and Rotunda.
Oh.
Then he went back to the NWA or whatever else. And all of a sudden he comes back. And I don't know the history or the reasons why he came back. Like, why he left NWA again. But he's now the Widowmaker. Like, what? It never made sense. Just in general. Strangest things. It was the strangest thing the way WWE did stuff.
Yeah, I guess it'd be kind of interesting. I'm not sure that I was terribly worried about the presentation of the characters back then.
And that's how big of a nerd I was even back then. I'm like, no, that's, like, the only one I remember, because they even gave Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, they named him the Brain Busters. Like, I get it, because he was part of Bobby Heenan's crew.
Oh, right.
But it was like, why don't they just use the Four Horsemen? Because, you know, don't understand copyrights and shit back then. But, yeah, it just WWF, E, whatever, has always had that weirdness to me of, taken established people. I mean, I guess it's that whole thing where if Vince didn't create, or it doesn't matter what you did outside of WWF, and that's why they were doing that stuff. Like,
oh, right,
okay, but yeah. So yeah, that's how you get from Protest to Big Boss into this, and now WWE's in for, or not actually, NXT's in your house.
Oh yeah, since I mean, you've definitely still got to call it the third brand. At this point, if people are moving from NXT yeah. to the main roster, kind of on the regular, yeah, I still don't feel like there's an equality there, and I also feel like that may have factored into one of the later outcomes too.
I'm trying to figure out, like, we don't have to start the beginning, so I really like the women's main event. I thought that was really good. The women basically started that show off great and ended that show great.
Yeah, for a six-woman match, it was a lot of fun to start the show. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I guess that end part was more, it was at least one of the matches that I was referencing. I do think that the WWE went, nah, we need Charlotte on the A or B show, whichever way you want to consider it these days. And she can't be popping up on NXT because we do realize that people are getting sick and tired of her being on all three shows.
I would hope that's the case. Yeah, I mean, that's what I would hope, that's the actual case. Like, that's the logic. I honestly don't know if that's the logic or not, though. It's perplexing what they've done. Like, I am happy. I think it's great Io Shirai won. And because I thought she probably should have had it a longer time ago, you know?
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Like, they did all that building up for Rhea Ripley. She loses it, and it loses, like, essentially loses the rematch of sorts. You know, it wasn't a perfect rematch, obviously. Like, not the one she wanted.
Yeah, and she'll always have the, it was a three-way match, and, you know, that kind of...
Yeah, but she's the one that got pinned.
Yeah. That's...
So it's like, how do you complain when you're the one that lost again? And I didn't mind the fan. You know, it was very close to the Cruiserweight match from this week. Or a couple weeks ago, sorry. How Drake Maverick won in his...
Oh.
Where Jake Atlas was kind of similar, except... So, I mean, I guess like, it's a forward-thinking proposal on this to where, all right, Charlotte can say, hey, she had her shoulders down while she was in the figure eight, so it should have been my win. You know, so they can have EO and Charlotte actually have a real match this time.
Yeah.
Instead of what we got. Or... So to me, I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to have a blow-off match. And then both Rhea and Charlotte are going up the main roster. Because that's the only thing that can explain why you would shortchange Rhea's push like that. Like, dude, she was everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more to be said than saying she was the first woman to defend the NXT title on WrestleMania, you know? Even if it was a... Mm-hmm. Even if it was a crowdless WrestleMania, like, they put that in motion before they knew they wouldn't have a crowd. So, they obviously...
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
You know, they obviously have a lot of faith in her, and I guess I didn't even think about that, because I'm like, man, why did Ripley take the turn? Because I was thinking about, was it the match previous to that, about a call-up? Oh, no, it wasn't the match before that. It was a couple matches before.
I know what you're talking about, though.
But, anywho, yeah, I didn't think about Rhea getting called up, and it would make sense if they do that, because, and this was the other thing I guess I was thinking with that main event, is that they're like, oh, shit, we lost Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. We need to fill in... Because, like, they did such a... And I don't know if they've learned from their relatively recent past, but I think they have. Because these call-ups between Matt Riddle and possibly Rhea, like, I just remember how much we were talking about last year, how the lack of Roman Reigns, was it last year? The lack of Roman Reigns because he came back for WrestleMania, didn't he?
Yeah, he was actually back.
Okay.
For WrestleMania.
So yeah,
that,
I guess
that was what was so crazy about it.
Yeah, I guess it was maybe then a year and a half ago how we talked about the power structure just completely got undercut in the men's division, especially I believe Reigns was on Raw at the time. And they have a similar vacuum now. And honestly, I could see, I don't know if it'll happen, but I could see Rhea and Charlotte going to the same brand if they think need to bolster it.
Yeah, my thinking was Charlotte beats Asuka for the title, which is just a giant mistake anyways, and then Rhea, and then they move it on to Rhea and Charlotte eventually. That was my in, like, inside my own head thinking.
Uh-huh.
But it's like you can't, because Asuka's probably the best thing on Raw right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know that's all opinion, but name me someone else that's actually entertaining on Raw. And okay, I mean, Seth is doing fine in his role, but he's a bad guy. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, and he's still doing a pretty good job of being a dickhead about things, too, so that you're not able to enjoy him too much.
Right, yeah. But no, it kind of makes sense, but again, man, every time I try to say, oh yeah, this person's doing a good job, or this person's really good, and now I'm not saying like they're not good, but it's, like, there's no crowd to tell you who's popular, who's not. You know, like,
oh,
and we'll get into the PC crowd here in a second, but it's like, they tell them what to do. Like, literally, they were on the PA system saying show more energy the other week, you know? So it's like, okay, so they're basically just doing what they're told, how to act, whatever else. And that's fine. You gotta do it with TV production somehow, because the empty arena stuff was just garbage.
Agreed.
Yeah, so it's very hard to tell who's actually getting over.
There
could still be crickets for, like, Angel Garza, you know? As much as entertaining he's been,
yeah.
You have no idea if anyone actually, like, hates him or not. Or cheers him, for that matter.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I hadn't thought about much with the PC audience, the PC performers audience. But someone mentioned it on Twitter last night. I wish I could give them credit, but I can't. But they were talking about how they kind of cheer everything, so you don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. They just cheer the moves.
Last night, I was losing my mind. they're chanting Kneel and Pray or whatever. They're chanting for the bad guy stuff. Killer Cross is the clear, or Karrion Cross is the clear bad guy in that scenario, and they're chanting along for him. And I'm like, is there no one around to shut up and boo him? I mean,
yeah. Well, and have no one at the PC? Have you ever gone to your own live wrestling experience and cheered? I mean, I do know that there are some people largely in the adult community, I suppose, that cheer for the heels and boo the good guys. But, you know, it's just kind of like one of those easy wrestling etiquette kind of things. Like, I remember that one time that it was when John Cena was lustily being booed, that stage of his career, where I was booing him and chanting for him at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we talked about that a lot, like how it didn't make any sense, and it just became the thing. Like,
yeah.
After a while, it was just fun to do. But, I was going crazy for that. I was like, you're trying to establish this guy as a bad guy, and you idiots. Now, I will give them a 50-50 on this. Somebody could have said, hey, when he comes out, your job is to chant his name. or chant his catchphrase. That could have been a possibility. And whoever said that should be fired because you don't understand how things go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, my mind was blown during that last night. And you got Scarlett doing this, and that's the first time his entrance didn't work right because of the stage.
Oh.
Because if you watch closely on that, it's obviously very, very visual. And all the visuals were broken up because of the goofy backdrop. I mean that's what the backdrop is. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot to say about this match since we brought up Karrion Kross.
Oh.
I did not expect that.
Yeah, that
steamroll Ciampa.
That was really the only surprising thing, was how much of a steamroll it was. Like, it's one of those things where I definitely expected Kross to win, because how can you have this guy going into his first big feud, and really first ever feud in NXT, and then have him lose? Like, the character's dead at that point.
Yeah, I mean, this is an AEW, so... Here's the truth, everybody. So, watch the shows. You'll see what we're talking about. Hey, are you debuting? Here, we're going to put you in your first big match, and you're going to lose, okay? No. That sounds stupid. And we're going to do it, and everyone's just going to be like, no, that's okay. It's AEW. Anyways.
Yeah, it's the Young Bucks. It's okay. You just don't understand what I'm thinking.
I actually did read that, that bullshit line of thinking, too. I actually did read that Tony Khan's the one that's behind most of the decision, like, storyline decision-making. And I went, well, maybe he shouldn't be.
But yeah. Yeah, there's a quick solution to that.
What's that? I'm sorry.
There's a quick solution to that, Tony.
Yeah.
Stop being involved.
Or be involved and go, or how is this? And someone have the balls and go, no. Like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take all the WWE guys and we're going to put that in main events of pay-per-views. No. You've got the best wrestler in the world on the roster. Well, we're going to build him up over here. No. He's already built up for our audience. Like, no. Hey, who's sending out the money here? Oh, yeah, cool, Tony. You just do whatever. Nah, fuck that. And we're here to talk about AEW. Sorry. I told you we're going to get off on stuff. So...
You know, hey, it's not like he's not Vince McMahon though, so it's all good.
Yeah, no, I will say this: like, what I'm referring to though is, like, if Heyman Page would have won that first match against Jericho and became the champion, I don't think it would have. Like, we would have the badass, cool Hangman right now, and plus, we both know Jericho winning was probably good for public perception. He's like, oh, Chris Jericho's there.
Oh, right.
But then John Moxley comes in. Okay, yeah, he's, you know, he's a big deal. I'll never say he's not. And then you have Brody Lee comes in. Listen, as much as I like Brody Lee, why did he get that shot? Like, I didn't get that at all. But then he loses. So you build this guy up just to lose. And lose clean and convincing. Which you're going to do against the baby face anyways, but...
Oh, right.
Whatever. It's just, you had the biggest star to your fans. You have the biggest star to your fans, who is in a tag team.
And your second biggest star is probably in that same tag team.
Yeah. With that one, all right, so to be fair, in this case, they created Paige from that. That worked. You know, so I'm not going to complain about that part, but it's like WCW. You bring in Hulk Hogan and then go, okay, Hulk, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you in a tag team with, I don't even know, I can't remember who the hell else was in WCW at the time.
Conan. Go.
Yeah, yeah, just something, man. Maybe I'm being too hard, but I never hear this criticism, very fair, valid criticism of the storylines that they've been doing. And
no. Yeah, I feel like there's an overall lack of criticism in that department, or that it kind of just gets poo-pooed that it hasn't been long. And that's the point where I'm at, because I think Chris and I realized that, you know, it's been a year plus at this point for them on TV. Like, they... You know, I'll give you like 6 months to work out some kinks, but I also do think that because they were new, they probably got screwed by the whole COVID pandemic.
Oh, absolutely.
More than absolutely, the WWE did. Like, I know that the WWE's brought in some people still, but A, they have 3, 5, 7 hours of TV still, and you only have... Mm-hmm. 3 total hours of TV. Like, it's just, yeah, their character introduction, I guess, has been a little lacking as far as I'm concerned too.
Yeah, no, the COVID thing, it messed up AEW. I mean, there's no way around that, because people couldn't come in, wouldn't come in, which is fine. You know, if you're not safe, then don't go. I have no problem with that. But yeah, man, just, yeah, it messed them up. There's no way around it, so...
Yeah.
But it's still, again, you can adapt. And maybe this is the best they can do right now.
Oh. Yeah, it's,
you know,
possible.
Just right or wrong, maybe that's just the best they can do. And their best things, so...
Well, we had been on the topic of call-ups from the WWE...
get back to the top here.
Yeah, right. Well, it seemed like a good stopping point too, anyway, for AEW complaints. Velveteen Dream.
Okay, so yeah, I guess we should talk about the match for then.
Yeah.
Get into this, because that'll make a little more sense. Okay. So we haven't talked since they announced the stipulation, right?
No.
That it was going to be a backlot brawl or whatever? Yeah, we didn't talk or anything. So,
no.
Did this feud even need that stipulation? Like, it wasn't that heated.
Well, it was kind of weird, because was this the second or third chance that Dream was getting at him? I guess I'm not really sure what that number is, and I'm not sure that I really care either, honestly. But it's one of those... they kind of needed to do something, I guess, because the feud had gone on. But to me, the feud was too inconsistent. I guess that's another thing where, like, I think because of COVID, things weren't... kind of raging on TV the way that I would have expected for a brawl to be necessary. Like, yeah, there's some feuding going on, but there were just some problems to that story, I guess, that made it awkward.
Because I forgot how long ago this has been going on, actually, because Undisputed Era was responsible for throwing him and hurting his back. I forgot about that.
Oh.
And he mentioned it. I was like, oh, God, that's right. And then you had the Roderick Strong stuff, which turns out was just there to bait Adam Cole. So then he still doesn't get his match, but then he pins him in a tag match. And then he gets this match, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, not wildly inconsistent, but just different. Like, okay, this is kind of different. This is kind of weird.
Yeah, it was some odd build. Like, I guess I don't mind it in and of the fact, and I think this is a point that Chris brought up online. The nice thing about the backlot brawl is that there really weren't any gimmick matches on the pay-per-view. Like, that was the only gimmick match. Like, it really... Because, A, I was surprised at the ordering of the matches. Because this one popped up, I'm like, holy cow, there's still two more matches to go. Like, this is a little shocking. But it did really break up just a bunch of flat-out wrestling matches. And that, there is something to be said for that. Like, why they chose that match to be, and I guess that's why they chose it to be that. Like, it was a long-standing feud, but again, like, I still don't feel like it was one that was kind of, you know, had a good direction the whole time. Like, it was here, it was there, you know, like, it kind of kept on going, but never really got up to backlot brawl status. Because nothing happened in the back lot either, right? Like, there wasn't an angle that I missed?
Well,
or did they hurt his back in the back lot?
It was in the back, it was in, like, the backstage area in the trucks. But, okay, I mean, that's, other stuff's happened like that before. But yeah, it, that was the thing, that's what I'm getting at, like, it didn't need this. Now, unless Velveteen Dream's back is still bothering him, because that was the rumor why he was out so long, it was back injury, this was a good way to protect it. Now, I understand some of the bumps that happened in this match, right? But,
well,
maybe that was like, you know.
Adam Cole definitely took the worst one. At least in this
somebody
match.
Somebody pointed out, like, Adam Cole, it's actually getting a little old. Like, it's not exactly his fault, but all of these Superman bumps he takes, doesn't get pinned, is getting kind of old.
Oh.
I mean, and again, I always go back to, that's the announcer's job. Say, like, this guy is incredible. Like, he should have lost, but something. Like, he's one of the toughest people around. Like, because Adam Cole does not look like a tough guy.
No.
He looks like a jerk, that's for sure. You know, complimentary.
Right.
But he doesn't look like, you know, he doesn't look like a badass. But he just looked like, Shawn Michaels never looked like a badass. But he definitely looked like he was a little bit tougher. So, if the announcers would do something with that, maybe it would help. But, my God, he takes a ridiculous amount of finishers and never gets pinned.
Yeah, that was another one that I guess was, that was a pretty surprising moment to me when Dream turned the Panama Sunrise into the Dream Valley Driver. I'm like, oh, well, this is where we get it. And then then there was a kick out, like you said.
Yeah, and then Dream hits the purple, no.
Yeah.
Is the purple Rainmaker the elbow?
Yeah.
Okay, so he hits that, but it's on the chair, and I went, that can't be how that ends. Because you effectively just made, you just rendered that move, you nullified that move by doing it on a chair. Like, you just hit him, it'd be a lot worse to drop onto the ground. So I'm like, that can't be the end, and it wasn't. And that's when I started realizing, oh, I'm rooting for Adam Cole. Like, I didn't know who I was going for in this match, because I like both of them, like, as a fan.
Yeah.
When he kicked out, I like physically, I was like, yes. It's still stupid, but I mean, that's what it's supposed to do. Listen to an emotion like that. So, but yeah, so when they put this in the middle of the show, I kind of thought, okay, Adam Cole's winning. I didn't know for sure, because, you know, there's been those rumors about his contract and all that now, which apparently are not real.
Oh.
He apparently has 18 months left. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know what's true anymore with this stuff.
Oh, so, my gosh. Yeah, that's kind of...
But when they start talking about July, it seemed like, okay, this is the time for him to lose. Especially given the stipulation that Dream can't fight for the championship while he's the champion.
Oh.
So, but, yeah, so when Dream won, or I'm sorry, excuse me, when Dream lost, I thought, well, he'll be on Raw or SmackDown soon.
Yeah.
That was my first thought. Oh, okay, they're just moving him up. That works. That's good.
Yeah, but that was the only thing that kept me from being super surprised at the outcome of the match, just because Riddle's gone up already, and I'm just like, what does, you know, Velveteen Dream stand to, you know, win by staying in NXT at this point. Like, you know, he's to that point where an NXT title reign isn't really worth it.
No.
Like, I mean, I guess you can do a Gargano-like storyline where you're like, oh, I keep on getting close and I can't quite pull it out, and then he finally pulls it out. But that's the only thing left on the table, I think, for him in NXT.
See, that's... Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Because he was already the North American champion. He's not, lost that, never looked back. But, yeah, and it's also, like, stipulation of he can't... I'm trying to figure out, do you see Adam Cole going to the main roster ever?
Well, that was kind of the funny thing, because I guess before this match, there seemed to be a lot of chatter about Adam Cole being the one to go up to the main roster. But he's kind of like Gargano. As much as I like him, it's tough when they get into the land of the Giants.
Because, see, I thought the same thing, but then when they were doing that Survivor Series stuff, it looked like he was out of place at all. And that's why I was asking, but it's a different, I'm gonna guess, because wasn't Triple H doing most of that stuff for, like, the NXT parts of the Survivor Series build?
Oh, I don't remember.
You had Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan. Adam Cole and somebody else, Seth Rollins.
Oh.
And he didn't look out of place at all. Even with his size, he didn't look out of place.
Yeah, well, Daniel Bryan still, because that's one of those things that, like, Daniel Bryan, he bulked himself up right before he had to leave with the injury. And you can definitely tell that he's slimmed down some more, but I still think that, in general, he has a bigger build than Adam Cole, or even Gargano,
oh, sure,
for that,
absolutely,
for that matter. Like,
yeah.
Cole, like, he just doesn't look big. Like, I feel like, were you the one that said that he looked kind of big live?
He looked bigger live, but I mean, it's, you know, this is borderline shitty to say, but that's not saying much.
Oh.
He did look bigger in person, where Gargano and Ciampa didn't look any bigger. They looked how they looked on TV.
Oh.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But no, it's like him in the ring, even when he was in the ring for the Rumble with, like, other bigger wrestlers, he never looked out of place to me. But that's like our opinion, you know? Like, we don't make the decisions. We aren't the guy in charge saying, no, he's too small, or none of this. And I just was like, I think he could be done, he would do well on the main roster in the correct opportunity, or correct chances, you know? But I don't have faith that those chances would be given.
Especially...
So, like, the reason I even asked... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, that was the one thing that always fell apart, for the most part, with AJ Styles and the OC, the club, is that you had Styles winning all the time and then the club being hot garbage all the time. And it just didn't make for a good mix. And it's always one of those things that if they get called up, A, I would think it would be as a stable just because they've kept them together. But you've got to put as much time into the tag team to at least make them credible so that it doesn't look like the champ is hanging out with a bunch of losers.
Yeah. But isn't that kind of their gimmick, though? Like, they're all douchebags? That's kind of their gimmick. So, I guess it could be, but...
Yeah.
The reason I was asking was, trying to figure out an appropriate way for, like, the Velveteen Dream not to look like a bum. And so, say he stays in NXT, right?
Uh-huh.
And stays in NXT, and he feuds. Cole finally loses the title. leaves to go to the main roster, right?
Yep.
Well, isn't that kind of like Ember Moon finally winning the NXT Championship after Asuka vacated it? And everyone was just making the jokes like, yeah, okay, Daniel Cormier. You know, he won it after Jon Jones left. Like, wouldn't that do the same thing to Velveteen Dream? It was like, well, he couldn't get it done. It's the guy that was actually the champion. Hey. And then say he beats the guy who beat Adam Cole. Okay, well, you could never beat him. Like, people don't really forget things like that.
Yeah, that one
not,
would...
Not that extra.
And I wouldn't think, like, it would be pretty awkward, too, to have Adam Cole have this celebration and then have him lose the title in the very next feud. So, like, you're talking about Velveteen Dream having to probably stick around, like, another 6 months or something to get his title shot. I wish
like,
you
like
could,
how messed up is that?
Yeah, I wish you could see faces on podcasts, because that'd just be ugly, man. It would just be ugly. That's all there is to it. Like, him going after the North American Championship, especially right now, doesn't make a whole lot of sense with Keith Lee holding the title.
That was one that surprised me. I figured old Keith was definitely gone and going to the main roster. Why he's in NXT still, you know? But anyways, we get to that in a little bit. That's fine. Sorry.
I guess, do you have anything more to say about Cole or... you know, the one thing, and depending on whether when I do a show next with Chris, is there some weird rumor out there about Velveteen Dream having some indiscretions that are being looked down upon by WWE management?
They may be being looked down upon because they should be looked down upon. And now, he said he got hacked, but apparently he was DMing, like private DMing on Twitter, I think it was, and like sending pictures of his dick or something. Now, The one place I usually go to, they took the pictures down. So it was like, okay, like they didn't want to like substantiate this, whatever. But yeah, he was being a naughty boy, and it turns out whoever he was DMing was underage. Now I don't know ages or any of that stuff. Not that it matters, but
right,
it quickly went away. I think it might have been around, like, the time COVID was really get big. Like, with, and I mean, like, the shutdowns, not in popularity.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, and that's what a lot of people are wondering, if that's why he didn't win. Like, they don't want that noise to come back and then just going to let it, you know, kind of let it go away for a while. Now, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, obviously.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I had seen that referenced a couple of times online last night, and I'm like, I have no idea what that's all about. So, yeah, that was, I guess, considering that we were both kind of, not shrieking, a little bit concerned about him sticking around another 6 months in NXT just to finally get a shot at the NXT title. I guess that would be one way of punishing someone, is to kind of...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But I mean, but at the same time, it's like... And here's the bad part. I don't know if any of that was true. But anytime someone says they got hacked, like, do hackers actually get into your stuff and send out, like, they tweet underage girls from your account when you get hacked? Like, I've never heard of that. Maybe it does happen. But it's like, really? Really?
Yeah.
You could come up with a better excuse than I got hacked and they start sending underage girls dick pictures. Like, I don't think that's what hackers are really doing. They're there to just mess stuff up and take your information.
I haven't...
Hackers that hate these guns.
I haven't heard that story. I'm not sure how much the male nudes fetch online these days, and I I mean, hackers have stolen my credit card numbers before, but that's like the extent of a hacker problem that I've ever had. But I'm also not famous, so that kind of helps.
Yeah, I mean, that helps a lot. So, no, man, it's... So, yeah, there was that part of it that people were starting to bring up, and I don't think there's any credence on that one. But then again, I don't purport to know everything that goes on, too. So,
oh, right.
I mean, you know? But it would make sense. I mean, it's kind of like Triple H just going, you idiot. Because remember, Triple H knows all about getting de-pushed or getting punished for stuff that he was directly or indirectly involved in. So it's not like that's out of the realm of possibility. He was like, so I want us to, like, Vince wants you to come up, but you got to eat shit on this one. But then, like, just going back to the original point, I just didn't understand. Like, Regal said that this match deserves a spot. Like, he's going to put it under the spotlight it deserves. I don't think this is exactly what it, like, this is not. I'd have been, you know, in a stadium or something. Like, that's the spotlight that, as the fans look at this feud, or look at these two guys, that it would deserve, you know, something big. But instead, we get the goofy backlot thing, which, you know, the cinematic matches are fine, but I didn't see the stadium stampede. But after the last ride, or I'm sorry, the Boneyard match, you can keep trying, but you're not topping that one.
Oh, yeah, so. I guess and maybe it's just because my expectations were pretty low for the Money in the Bank match, that I did enjoy that more than I expected. But I also, I guess I agree with you, like, I don't think it was as good as the Boneyard match, and it probably wasn't even as good as the Firefly Funhouse match, honestly. And
okay, another. Does the Firefly Funhouse match actually count as a match? I mean, there weren't even any. Well, I guess there were punches thrown, but none connected. And then Bray just pins, or the Fiend pins John Cena at the end. Like, there's very little act. It was kind of like just a vignette, entertaining, mind you. But,
right.
Yeah, like, everything else had a goal. This was just, he just got all over John Cena and then pins him. That was the end. Like, okay, that was weird. But,
yeah.
So I'm...
It wasn't, this one wasn't as fun as any of those, I guess, in my opinion. Like, it wasn't really bad, but...
No, it wasn't bad at all. I think one of the problems is they tried to play it straightforward almost. Outside of the Uber spot, which I was like, are they going to take off like the original, like the Hollywood backlot brawl, you know, and drive around?
Oh.
That's what I thought was going to happen. They were going to fight in the Uber. Because, like, what's one of the things you most remember about the Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte feud?
Oh, yeah.
Besides, like, you know, Becky winning.
Yeah, when
like
Charlotte
Ronda and Becky fighting in the back of the car with their legs.
Yeah, and because wasn't that when Charlotte busted out the window too?
Yes. Yeah. So it's like that sort of stuff. So yeah, and that. So they tried to play straightforward. I mean, Dexter Lumis got involved. Just like he said he was. He kidnapped Roddy and
Bobby Fish.
Yeah, Bobby Fish. Okay, here's another thing. On Wednesday, Kyle O'Reilly was there. He was in person. He was in Florida. Where the hell was he last night?
Oh, you know, I hadn't thought about that. I was wondering, I'm like, where's KOR around here?
Yeah.
But I guess it was to make it not completely ridiculous that Dexter Lumis tossed two guys into a trunk. A third guy would have been...
Remember, this was also... Well,
too
yeah,
much
true.
Gay porn.
But they also recorded this a month ago. It was recorded like three, four weeks ago.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. Now, I know they said that Kyle O'Reilly was making a movie you know? That was the excuse for him not being around. But I believe he's Canadian, right?
Yeah.
So he couldn't get in the country. But I guess now he has a work visa going to Florida. You're allowed? I don't know how that works. Unless they... No, they couldn't have filmed that because he has a beard. And he never did before. So, yeah. So, it's like something. And maybe they'll mention it. Who knows? But... And real quick before we move on. Who beats Adam Cole now?
I mean, and to me, this is the easy lead into that match that we referenced earlier. Like, Keith Lee's the guy, right? Unless he gets called up first.
I honestly don't think we're going to get Keith Lee and Adam Cole. I think Keith Lee's gone before they can do that. And I mean, if it wasn't. Then I would have expected Johnny to win. You know? And then it frees up... It would have freed Keith Lee up to just go after Adam Cole. Because this whole match with Johnny and Keith... Didn't it seem destined like Johnny was going to win this thing the whole time? I mean, Keith dominated him. And then Johnny was doing all his cheating spots. And then he cheats again. It successfully cheats. But yet... Like, poking him in the eye, the other eye still didn't work. It was very strange. And that's why I was like, if Keith Lee didn't lose there, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, because that's another one where they're just kind of in an awkward position, and I know that's another thing that Chris and I have talked about. There's been the rumor of Dijakovic going up already, and I'm just like, huh?
Yeah, that's a very big surprise. Yeah.
You know, and even, and we don't really need to talk about it much, but the Finn Balor-Damian Priest match, I'm like, you guys are doing a pretty terrible job of building up your big guys to move on to the main roster, unless their name is Keith Lee currently.
I'll disagree with you on this. That was the best Damian Priest Punisher Martinez match I've ever seen.
Oh.
And I know Finn Balor's involved. He had his working shoes on, man. He was doing stuff I'd never seen him do before. And I'm like, oh, that was the first time that made me stop back and go, oh, I get it now. Like, because Triple H was always talking about how good he is. He's uh-huh. like, look at that. He's got the voice. He's got the look. He's got the talent. And I'm like... Okay, look in the voice, sure, but I have never really seen it. I mean, he was bumping all over. He finally got rid of that stupid mesh shirt. That's the best shape I've ever seen that guy in.
Uh-huh.
And he's jumping all over the place. I'm like, that's why I texted you. And I did that on purpose. What I call him? Damian Punishment or something? Because I keep calling him Punishment Martinez.
Yeah.
But that's like the best I've ever seen him. And then he lost.
I'm not really gonna bag on the match, or his effort, but I also think that it's just been really awkward that they kind of, NXT didn't have any giants in it, and then in come Keith Lee, Dijakovic, and Priest pretty much all at the same time.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, what the fuck just happened here?
Yeah, well, what happened to Killian Dane? I'm guessing he's stuck in Scotland? But, I mean, he lived in Florida.
Well, I was going to say, considering that his wife's on TV, I would assume that it's either injury or something else that we're unaware of.
Okay, because I think the last time we saw him was that feud with Matt Riddle that turned into him, Matt Riddle, and Damian Priest.
Oh.
That's the last time I remember seeing him.
Yeah, his push has been... I guess he's another one that's kind of... I mean, he had a cup of coffee on the main roster, but kind of... You definitely could have thrown Killian Dane in that Land of the Giants category there that...
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, they just haven't... I guess in general, to me, NXT hasn't done a terribly good job with their big men. Because just the fact that they were all involved with each other, just even to basically start their appearances on TV, was weird. Like, none of them really had squash matches. Like, they might have had one or two here or there, but for the most part, like, it was like Dijakovic and Lee had that series of matches, like, what, it had been, like, maybe their third match on NXT TV or something like that. I'm like, why the fuck is this happening now? Like,
it, and that's the thing, I'm glad you brought that up, and it, this card kind of did that. But we're so used to NXT taking their time with stories and matches and that.
Oh.
Because, like, remember, one, it used to be an hour. A lot of people forget that already.
Oh.
NXT only used to be an hour, so you could only put so many people on. You could only do so much. And therefore, and then, you know, takeovers were only, what, once every 3 months?
Right.
Yeah, because they have 4 years. Yeah. So we kind of forget about this. Like, they had the luxury of taking it easy. Well, then now that they're on USA, don't think they can take their time anymore. Because, one, obviously Vince is going to be more impatient with the show, like, you know, with ratings or whatever else. And then, you know, when you can just take people as well. And, yeah, I don't know. I think that's part of it, is a lot of these got hotshotted. Like, well, I mean, and obviously the COVID stuff messed stuff up because Finn was supposed to be fighting Walter already. But
yeah, you know. I mean, that's why, and that's the other thing about that match. Like, oh man, you want to talk about that match was awesome considering that it was thrown together. They're like, hey, we're building up this Walter feud. Oh shit, we have 2 weeks before the pay-per-view. We need a new feud for Finn Balor.
Yeah.
In comes Damian Priest.
Damian Priest is... Yeah, you go do the... Cool. But yeah, but no, the Finn Alistair... I keep calling him Alistair Black for obvious reasons, by the way. Damian Priest and Finn, I thought was good. It wasn't memorable, unfortunately. Outside the fact that it's Finn. Of course it's going to be good. And also just for how good Damian Priest was.
Oh.
And...
It was
believable, big man, little man.
There was definitely one other thing that was memorable about that match. That was the bump of the night. When Damian Priest nearly missed the stairs.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Do you know why? I blocked that out of my memory almost immediately. Because when it was looking like he was going to backdrop Finn onto the stairs.
Yeah.
I was just going, no, 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 no. Hang on a second.
Yeah, no, no for that, too. No, no bugs.
I'm talking to somebody else. And then it's, anyways. But yeah, no, that bump, dude, that was stupid. And I immediately just wanted to forget about it. Like, it was bad enough when they were just faking or teasing that they were going to do it to Finn.
Yeah.
And then when he actually dropping, I'm going to say, is safer. Because you can control yourself. Like, okay, he still almost missed the damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a lot safer than backdropping somebody onto it.
Yeah, and you could see, like, he kind of did that trust fall, like, you'd see him cross his arms to kind of even brace for impact. I'm like, I'm not even going to give you a hard time for that one because he knew what was coming and he was not looking forward to it.
But then it's like, then why do it?
But
I guess in the context of what they were doing, maybe they thought they needed that big bump to take him out. You know?
Yeah.
Finn was a smaller guy, and he was getting handled here and there, but it was back and forth. But they, like, maybe someone determines, like, no, we need that big ah spot to explain how this big guy is getting punked down by the little guy, or the smaller guy, I guess.
Yeah.
But that was one funny thing for because I had people who don't watch wrestling over, so I kept telling them, I was like, just watch, just wait for Keith Lee to come out. So he comes out and he's like, well, that is a big boy. I'm like, yes, it is. And then I was like, and just wait, he does other stuff. I mean, he doesn't just pound people, which that's all he did. He didn't do a whole lot of top rope or flying stuff last night.
Oh. No. And that was
Johnny Gargano. Oh, sorry.
It's probably a smart plan just because Gargano can move so well. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he can create the movement more than Lee, and you can just kind of let him go. Cause I guess that is kind of the only thing that they haven't done a lot with Keith Lee, is that they haven't had him work the smaller guys yet.
No. And that was the funny thing about watching with non-wrestling fans, because when Gargano came out, they were like, one, they go, why is he dressed with a cape? And I was like, well, I think that's supposed to be Magneto, I think.
Oh, everyone seemed to say it was a Mandalorian costume.
Oh, yes, it was. Okay, I was just going with Nolan, since he's a bad guy now, but okay, that makes sense. But, and then they go, wait a minute, this little guy's fighting this big guy? I'm like, uh-huh. And they go, the big guy's going to kill him. I'm like, well, you got to remember, there's ways around it. And in the first few parts of the match, Keith Lee's tossing him around like a baby. And I was like, oh, okay, this is how they're going. Especially the spot where he caught him. It was like looking him in the eyes like, what are you doing? Now, in that respect, yeah. I really liked the Ring doorbell camera.
Oh, that was a fun spot. It was probably the best house spot that they did all night long.
Well, EO did jump off the set. We can't overlook that. She did jump, like, the crossbody off the top of the set.
Yeah, so. But it was a crossbody. So, yeah. The execution was there.
That's what she does, anyways. Like, we take for granted how good she is, because we're like, well, yeah, it's just the top of this. It's just a crossbody. She's still jumping 20 feet onto two other people. So,
well, you know. I think her genius of the sky part came into play there. Just from the sheer fact that she hit them. Like, she hit both Rhea and Charlotte dead in the chest. Like, I think that might be the more impressive thing than jumping off the set itself. So I'm still sticking with my favorite spot being the ring slash whatever you want to call it spot with Gargano as being my favorite house spot.
There was one time they actually, like, played with it. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, because I was let down, because who got tossed through the plexiglass?
That was EO. That set up for climbing on top of the bus.
Oh, no, yeah. she got thrown through the, front, or the, bay window.
Oh, yeah.
It was earlier in the show that someone got tossed through the plexiglass barrier. And maybe that was
that was Gargano. That was Keith Lee. He gave him the pounce.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't as good as the Adam Cole one. You remember that?
Where
Cole's celebrating, and Keith Lee just pounces him off screen? That was hilarious.
Yeah, they keep on trying to recreate that GIF moment, and it hasn't completely happened yet. I suppose
the best one ever is still Ace Romero. I think it was Ace Romero did it to Marcos. I think that's who it was, and he just blasted him out of the ring over the top rope into the crowd. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Like, one of the only things I've really liked Marco Stunt doing. I think it was Ace Romero. Maybe it's somebody else. But whoever did it blasted that little man a good long ways.
So, yeah, so I kind of expected Gargano to get pounced through the bay window, but he ended up getting tossed just through the plexiglass, and I'm like, oh, that's, you know, when I ended up seeing the EO spot, I'm like, oh, that's why they saved that for later. Going through the bay window.
So, they had some fun with it. But yeah, that, like, all the matches I thought were good. I mean, some of the results are obviously surprising. I really liked the women's opener. I can't tell you a whole lot about it, other than I had a fun time watching it. It was chaos. The whole thing was chaos, and all of a sudden it ends. You're like, okay. So,
yeah, well,
and
it was one of those things that when we were texting, I'm like, it really helps when all four women, well, I shouldn't say four, at least five of the six can wrestle. I'm still, the jury for me is still out on Raquel Gonzalez, although she hasn't done anything. She hasn't injured as many people as Nia Jax, so maybe she's at least decent.
Yeah.
But
I think her total is zero compared to her, so.
Yeah.
Anyways. I saw that Kairi Sane thing, and to say that that wasn't her fault is just ludicrous. So, the girl didn't have her balance, and you pretended to shove her. It's like, use your head, dummy! But anyways, I don't like piling on Nia Jax because she's clearly devolving while she's up on the main roster. It's like, all right, no, there's money in you. We're not helping you, so Triple H, you get to have her back. And it's write her off for a while, and then come back, and just something. Because she's a big woman. She's not ugly. And if she just get the stuff down, I mean, luckily she's sloppy because that's how we got Becky Lynch. If you think about it.
It was wildly,
you know, throwing fists.
Yeah, that really, Becky was on the uptick for sure, but that really helped cement her, interestingly enough.
Yeah, absolutely. that look with the bloody nose and celebrating all that, yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
But no, like, I enjoyed the show. I really liked the nostalgia ads. I mean, and I was not kidding. They need to tell Todd Pettengill, like, if he's going to... he's the smoothest announcer that they have. You know, in that one scene where he was doing, like, the shop zone, and then he was doing the... it turned out to be for shop zone, but it was, like, call 1-900 shop.
Yeah.
Shop. Whatever, that outside of like the goofy jokes, whatever, he was good.
Yeah, well,
he wasn't robotic. It wasn't like he wasn't apparently reading anything. He's just doing his shit. And I'm like, oh. And outside of the Scott and Todd show, but it's like, yeah, whatever. But that's not that bad.
Yeah, that was it was certainly an enjoyable thing to do. Like I would be remiss if I didn't say that I was watching a lot of 80s/early 90s TV during this quarantine time. So I guess I've liked some of the finer points of going back for the nostalgia. And yeah, Todd Pettengill was really good. Like, that 900 thing, even the kind of cheesy 900 joke cracked me up.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, I just like the fact that he said that the internet has rendered the 900 number obsolete. Like, it was just kind of funny. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it did. And the other one, yeah. I didn't realize was a callback. Did you, the Generation X thing? So, they're all acting like they're old now, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was Shawn Michaels on his Twitter. Did you see what he posted?
It was the three picture, then, now, and forever.
Yes, and it was him at
the computer.
I think one of the old in your houses trying to use a laptop, and he's like doing like one finger at a time.
Yeah.
And then go to last night where he's still can't figure out a computer. I was like, that's pretty clever, actually.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, I about fell over. I couldn't believe that the WWE found a computer monitor that was that size. Like,
yes.
That looks like one that we would have used, like, at the end of our college years. I was like, holy shit, where was that?
That looks like a legit gateway system. I used to have that. So, yeah, that was nuts. I'm like, that's really good. So... It's just funny, like, Triple H, like, Road Dogg, okay. Shawn Michaels, yes. But then Triple H just, like, calling himself old and putting himself on TV as, like, this old guy. It was just kind of funny. So I'm like, is he done in the ring? But I after that last fiasco, but...
Overall,
This was good. I mean, there's no way... Anyone who says this wasn't good is just looking for nitpick stuff, so...
Yeah, it was a good show. Like, I really... I enjoyed it. Like, even if the nostalgia stuff would kind of wear thin at some point if they kept on doing it, I'd be okay if, if NXT made In Your House, an annual thing to kind of do the retro stuff. And that would be, I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot more fun with a crowd, too. So, And maybe that's why they weren't worried about some of this stuff. Because, like, EO winning in front of a crowd, I think, would have gotten a giant reaction. I think. Because the crowd was legitimately, totally 100% behind Rhea at the point. Before all the fans weren't allowed to show up.
Yeah.
But, Charlotte would be roundly booed. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing a good job of leaning into people being tired of her at this point.
Yes.
It's
not even her fault.
And I think when they do get crowds back, that you will hear booing for Charlotte. So they may as well just keep heading in this direction, and it'll help everyone out.
Yeah, it's actually fine. Like, she's not really a bad guy or a good guy. She's Charlotte.
Oh.
So,
yeah, she's that gray area character that the WWE's been striving for, but has very rarely accomplished.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, that's what it is. Fine. So, I don't know. Wrestling's just in a weird spot. Plain and simple, it's in a weird spot right now because you can't have fans.
The whole world's a weird place currently, and so is wrestling. Oh boy, okie dokie. Well, I did not have a bell time beer during the show, but I will highly recommend during In Your House, I drank some Wolf's Ridge Cherry Cordial, which was a cherry chocolate vanilla cream ale. And if you happen to be within the state of Ohio now, I believe they deliver all over the state. Feel welcome to order this one because it's fantastic. I have really been liking the lighter beers, and cream ale definitely fits in that department. Only 6% ABV, very low in the hops department. And almost kind of a sourness to it from the cherries. Not a whole lot of vanilla on the back end, but there is a little bit in there. So that is my bell time beer of the show, despite not drinking it. I think that's it. At DeFrango11, at Granny Mays, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Take your pick. We're there. Please like, download, and do all that fun stuff to help us out. And next time, we will come to your house for a podcast.
No. No. No, we're not. No.